As we start today, I want to tell you about an event this week. I was able to go to the Van Dyke's house. I told Paul that before I was leaving to Italy, I wanted to see this fantastic collection of rocks he has in his house. So I went there, and after dinner, we went to the basement, this caveau with this beautiful room, and it opens, and there's all sort of treasures. All sort of gems, all sort of rocks. And as you look at them, you see how they are refined, they're beautiful, they tell you of God's creation, and every single stone has a different story. Every single gem tells you a different thing. And in today's gold rush, where is your treasure? You see, reach the treasure and sweet the pleasure only as it is found in Christ. Have you looked for this treasure in Christ? Or have you searched restlessly for substitutes in the secret recess of your closets? Has your heart looked to and fro without ever finding rest? Have you ever heard of the lost treasure of Christ, forgotten by many? What would you do if you were to find yourself in front of such golden mine of wisdom, of the unfathomable riches of Christ? Once you see it, you will probably act like that merchant with the pearl of great price, as our Savior described. In search of fine pearls, finding a pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. My friend, if you're looking for the most valuable gem, you are in the right place today. Because we will dig together in God's Word. You will see marvelous treasures from His Word. As the Puritan John Bunyan said in his book, Riches of Christ. But here, I quote, let us consider to gain the riches of Christ. We must give up ourselves wholly to His divine will, both soul and body, committing ourselves to Him as to the hands of a faithful Redeemer. For seeing He has redeemed us from our enemies, that therefore we need not to stand in fear of them. I want you to realize, my friend, that Christ is the true treasure. That is why today we will see how Christ's treasures is unfolded. I ask you to open your Bible to this treasure in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We will read from verse 24 to the third verse of chapter 2, which means from chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. Hear now God's reading of His precious and holy word. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the Word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, Paul is writing this letter in jail, as we learn from Acts 28. He's in Rome, and he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, which is part of Colossae. And this is a situation very problematic because there are teachers, Jewish teachers, that are coming inside the church and they're saying, you must celebrate festivals, you must worship angels, mystics, and there's a lot of taboo and things you can't touch rituals, and they were challenging Paul's ministry. I mean, he's always absent. He's continually in trouble. He's such a poor preacher. It must be that he's not qualified to be your leader. And so Paul has to build an apology, a defense of his ministry, and draw believers back to the supremacy of Christ and the beauty of Christ and the treasure of Christ, so that they may hold fast to Him and grow in holiness. So Christ's treasure is unfolded, first of all, in a costly investment, in a mysterious benefit, and thirdly, in a gold mine of wisdom. I want to see, first of all, how Christ's treasure is unfolded in a costly investment, as it is seen in verse 24 and 25. And you could ask, what is the price of getting the treasure of Christ? And the text says that it requires a call to sacrifice all for Christ in the church. The verse 24 starts with, now, because of the reconciliation outlined before, I, Paul, rejoice in suffering. That's a clear contrast. But it is because he knows that this suffering is not in vain. And he's filling up, he's completing, he's doing his share, you could say. Now, don't misunderstand me. No one has enough money to buy heaven. Christ's salvation is a free gift. It doesn't mean that Christ's atonement and cross is not enough, or that what he merits, or maybe we have to go to the merits of the saints to be transferred on account of our sins, as the papist has us believe. But what is lacking is those sufferings. And there is an identification between Christ and the church, as we shall see. Christ suffers through His people in a hostile world that finds scandal into the cross. Because all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. It is an expected believer's lot. It is a privilege to share in Christ's suffering. Epaphroditus, for example, we are told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 30, nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And Paul is in jail, beaten, persecuted. At times he's homeless, and he's always in danger. He suffered to proclaim the gospel, sharing the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. But rejoice, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 13, insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. And there's something that is lacking, it says the text, which means the sufferings of Christ continue in the body of Christ, which is the church. The church has many tribulations prior to His coming into glory. As the saints in Revelation says, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? And Christ answers, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete. And there is a parallel between Paul's body of suffering and Christ's affliction. And what is motivating this man? For your sake. For the sake of his body, the church, us. For building up the community of God. And the freedom we celebrate Monday on Memorial's Day, had a price, the blood of many soldiers. So it is for the many soldiers of Christ, for every servant, for every child of God, there is a constant struggle, an ongoing pain, being hated by the world, toiling to join the church between that love and that hate, between seeing the sin of the church and the holiness of the church. As Augustine said, the church is a saint as a prostitute. And we must marry Christ as His bridegroom. Nowhere is expressed better than in Hosea chapter 2, verse 2, where God says to Israel, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts. And yet, despite the sin of the church, God still longs to unite Himself to the church. That is to say, in a few verses later, 19, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in steadfast love and mercy. Is it worth all this suffering, Paul? Believer, this treasure outdo any suffering that this world may come. Trials, obstacles, pain, toils, and labors. They have a purpose in your life, O Christian, even when you don't seem to understand why. The Christian has many privations in this life, but so many riches in the heavenly places. And this church, Paul has become a minister, a servant. There is a clear call that involves a stewardship, a commission. The call that is the highest call on this earth, to preach His word. But not having in mind society, not having in mind personal ambition, but for you, my friend, for the church, are you called? Examine the motives that are behind your desire to serve in a specific ministry, become an officer, or aspire to the ministry even, or go to mission. Many look for personal gain. They exalt themselves in ambition and pride, and they have no visible sign of passion for the church of God. Examine specific call as a Christian. God has set you in a specific role, whether a husband, a father, a grandfather, a son, a job, specific resources He has entrusted you with to be steward of them. What is your specific calling, my friend? Young people, go to the Scriptures and there you will find this call. And Paul is toiling. He's struggling. He's almost in Greek, is agonizing. There is an agonistic as someone is running the race. There is a deep, heartfelt, suffering emotion as Christ is praying for the disciples that they may be kept from the devil. He's struggling, striving, depending now on Christ's power. You see the balance between what is lacking and filling up. Well, you can do that only through the energy which He worked powerfully. And even our godly efforts without God's grace are vain. And now He wants them to grow. But how great a struggle. How am I contending? As Jacob is painfully fighting with God. And then he becomes Israel. Until God blesses him. He works as hard as he knows. Day and night he prays for the church. Almost to the point of being exhausted. For the churches in Colossae. He wants them to see grow. This is his motive. It's not like the false teachers. And the churches in Colossae and Laodicea are his reward before God. And also all who have not seen my face, which is including me and you. You are included. There will be no rest until the whole body of Christ becomes mature and complete. And we will see this evening. But in this process, you are responsible to manage your gifts that God has entrusted you with. Are you a good steward of the things that God has entrusted you? And even in light of your afflictions of Christians, take heart. There are spiritual and eternal results of your toiling, your suffering, have an eternal purpose to become like that man of sorrow, all the more in his sharing of your personal weaknesses, whether it's a delusion, whether it's a discouragement, there is depression, there is hurt, there are doubts, fear of failures, sickness, marriage's crisis, scandal in the church, economic breakdown. As we are told in Pilgrim Progress, these troubles and distresses that you go through in these waters are no sign that God has forsaken you. But they are sent to try you. They are sent to try you. Whether you will call to mind that which heretofore you have received of His goodness. And live upon Him in your distresses. Like a woman in birth pains, as soon as the baby is born, she forgets all the pain. So Paul, looking to the eternal and final state of believers, can forget all these sufferings and rejoice. And think of a soldier who enrolls in the Memorial Day. We remember all the soldiers well. They are not instructed in the pain. They know that it is an essential part of their training. They take granted those wounds, the traumas, the losses, the sacrifices, and even death. So Christian, be prepared to be a Christian, which means being a Christian entails sufferings. When a man joins his wife, he knows, like we remember this Friday at the marriage of Nick Voss, it entails, marriage entails sacrificial love for the bride. So it is with us in the church. The care extends so broad that even unborn covenantal children, the father looks at them and they will be the center of his thought. And Paul struggles even to the unknown believers of us today in this church. And you say, how can I rejoice in my sadness? It is a contradiction in terms. It is impossible. I hear so many complain and they say, oh, Christian life is so hard. It's full of a mess. Why does God allow good people to suffer? And many people see suffering as a curse, don't they? Something to be avoided at all costs. And when it comes to a suffering, they put a self-preservation spirit for the survival of the fittest. Is that what a Christian is called to do? No. Remember that the price for getting the treasure of Christ is a call to sacrifice all for Him and the church. But secondly, Christ's treasure is unfolded in a mysterious benefit. Verse 26 to 28 of our text. Who can witness to the unfolding of such mystery? Gentile Christians like us, who receive and grow into the knowledge of Christ. So for what purpose this call? To make the Word of God fully known, to present the people of God perfect, to present them the whole counsel of God, and including, in verse 26, this mystery. It's not a secret ritual or a transcendent knowledge that these false teachers were boasting about. No, this is God's redemption in Christ. The gospel is going into the ends of the earth. And now a change has occurred. The incarnate Jesus Christ is coming into the earth, made flesh. And this mystery, which was kept in secret, hidden in the pages of the Old Testament, as Christ opened the disciples' eyes to understand the Scripture, it was not accessible, and it is not accessible to the reprobates. But now it has been disclosed. The veil has been torn. And who is the depository of this revelation? The saints, the church that belongs to Him, whether Gentiles or Jews, gather in the one people of God, regardless of their background, religious standing, they become citizens and members of God's household. Do you realize what privilege for you to be born in this day and age? Do you realize what privilege to be in this part of the planet? You have access to His Word. And if it's not longer a mystery to you, then you will receive it. You need to spread and share this treasure of His good news. But if you're still living in sin, this Word is still a mystery to you. And in your eyes and ears, it means nothing. You have no benefit, no stock investment in the heavenly things. Come here to the marketplace of the soul and buy without money. Why do you spend money for things that don't satisfy you? A new tire, a new house, a new phone, a new relationship, a new holiday. You can't buy happiness. Come and get this treasure. Christ must be your all in all. Since to these alone He's saying, to the chosen one, not anyone but to the elect, He has revealed the riches of this mystery. This is the source of a real, unmatchable, glorious wealth. Christ in you. It is not a corpus of doctrines, but a person. A person to which we are united mystically, in a good sense, mystically, which is Christ among you. Among us, I suspect there's not a lot of Jews in this room. But there's a lot of nations who believe by faith and receive salvation, and they place their hope on this glorious Son of God. And God in Christ is personally present within the elect. He has been chosen, destined from eternity past by the counsel of His will to possess the surpassing riches of the indwelling Christ. That is what the believer has. A day and a time that the saints of old, the day and age we are living, oh, they longed for. The angel desired to have Christ and what we have, oh believer. Are you living your life according to this marvelous mystery? Have you come to the realization of Christ's priceless gifts? You see, the kingdom of heaven We're told in Matthew 13, verse 34, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And Paul, minister to these Gentiles, must proclaim this precious Christ through warning and teaching. Verse 28, he's imparting truths, that same word that needs to be fully known in matter of all wisdom. And the Old Testament talks about wisdom not just as a knowledge, head knowledge, but as a practical knowledge, discerning between evil and good. And the Pharisees, like Paul was a Pharisee. He had all that knowledge, but then he converts to the true wisdom of Christ. And like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old, he's giving all that knowledge to the church. And imparts a wisdom that often, this wisdom is not a wisdom that is earthly. It is a wisdom from above, which is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. This is James chapter 3, verse 17. It involves a discernment and a reflection of the excellencies of such mystery, which is rich, to present to the Father on the last day of judgment each member of God's flock mature in Christ, complete, perfect, which doesn't mean sinless. I mean, we will be sinless only in heaven, but Colossians leave to need immaturity, seeking false and vain sources of human wisdom, and realize that Christ is precious and sufficient. And so Paul is trying to help them grow and mature. And sometimes the sheep, I don't know if any of you attended sheep, they're very stubborn. One day the flock seems to do good, and the next day it seems to we have to start from zero. I thought we already deal with this. But that's why it requires so much hard work, my friend. Toil, labor, suffering, seeing and helping Christians not to just hold to that treasure, but make it into a source of spiritual profit for others. As in the talent, the story of the talents. Master, you deliver me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And you know, my father is a Catholic, but he made a beautiful painting of me. And on this painting, on the background, he placed this statement. In Latin, Domine quinque talenta tradisti me, which is, you know, the Lord gave me 5 talents. And my prayer is that God will help me to do this investment. So Christian, you are not just saved to remain where you are. There is a sanctification, a growth and maturation. And whatever talent the Lord has provided you, use it. Offer it to Christ. Your treasure is an act of worship. Think of those wise men from afar. They opened their treasures and they offered him gifts. I am concerned that many believers fail in this because they are using the wrong instrument to get satisfaction in this life. While neglecting the greatest treasure, they focus on secondary things and they forget that it is all about Christ. But to you who suffer for his name's sake, don't get discouraged. If it gets hard and depressing, if you feel it is worthless, oh, discouraged sheep, you need to be reminded that even the angel envy the salvation that you enjoy. In the worst moment of depression, remember that treasure. And to those who are called to the ministry, we must preach the word, admonish, teach, and strive for the corporate maturation in Christ. And even as Christians, in our evangelism, our first responsibility is to present the treasure of Christ in all of its fullness. And only then the incorruptible heavenly treasure of a crown of glory will be offered to us. And this is our wage. This is the identity and purpose of us as a church. And once again, as an earthly father, as we have many earthly fathers, they see their children grow. They teach them day after day with patience and labor and struggle. So it is with us in the church. Think of what changed when America was discovered and the European people said, all of a sudden they realized there's tons of people out there that need the gospel. So it is for the ministry of Christ among us as Gentiles. And you say, what a big deal. Christ in you, so what? It really doesn't move me. Oh, repent from your ingratitude and desperate blindness to the spiritual reality of things. Don't be like those pigs to which one can throw the pearl and they trample them underfoot. Realize that you are waging your eternity. False profession will not make you fit enough for heaven. If you really haven't discovered this treasure, and so many people claim to be rich behind the strong box of their heart, they hide their sin. Oh, they love the earthly wisdom of philosophy. They find this message so poor of embellishment. Where is all the source of knowledge, oh foolish ones? Who gave you a mind? Who gave you a breath? That is why it says that it will confound the wisdom of the wise of this world, because it is folly to God. And he catches the wise in their craftiness. And like the Pharisee, they thought to know God. They handled the word of God, but they have no fellowship with the living God. And to them God said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. Romans 10:19. And thirdly, Christ's treasure is unfolded from the gold mine of wisdom. Are you excited? Come with me. Come with me and find this gold mine of wisdom. Where should I find it? Where ultimately must this treasure be sought? Verse 2 and 3 of chapter 3. In the only one in whom the fullness of all knowledge lies, Christ. You see, Paul wants, and his goal is that the Colossians see such great burden of love that Paul has, so that they may be encouraged, strengthened, that their heart must possess Christ. Being knit together, encouraged by means of a Christian unity as it springs up in fruits of love. Charity for the weak and poor, but also the spiritually needy around us, my friend. Now, he makes this authentic spiritual investment, Paul, which is made not by rusty metal, not made by dusty purses that wear out, or decaying possessions, but it is made of pure, pious, and sincere charity. And they store up, therefore, for yourself, treasures in heaven. And also understanding, which is not just, as I said, intellectual exercise. There is a heart and the head attaining to the spiritual wealth that comes from the understanding as they interiorize this word and they become assured of sharing His glory. There is a perfect assurance. One mark of a true spiritually regenerate soul, that he understands the gospel, that he loves, that he has this inner encouragement which results in peace. And the false teacher could provide only anxiety and doubt. Proverbs 2, verse 2 to 4 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. If you seek it like silver and search it for as a hidden treasure, oh, you shall be blessed. This was the charge to a young man by the writer of Proverbs. Now, this treasure has been offered freely. And if you are in Christ, be encouraged. Be encouraged because you are a child of God. You are part of His family. And what a treasure is the inheritance of the saints. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of God. Many of you are seeking knowledge, of course, but are you seeking that wisdom from above? Beyond human knowledge, beyond earthly wisdom that is actually demonic? A knowledge that results in constant application of Christ's love in your life? Do you possess love, encouragement of heart, and understanding? Those are signs you are being true convert. Or is your heart still a prisoner of sin, human tradition, and discontentment as it runs after false treasures in your day-to-day existence? Oh, what a waste of resources. What a foolish investment. When in Christ, my friend, are all the treasures. This is not material wealth, but a spiritual good, such as wisdom and fear of the Lord, are defined in the Old Testament as treasures. There's simply no other treasure. He is the solid gold. All truth of the universe revolves around Christ. He's the encyclopedia of all the spiritual and moral truth. There is wisdom and knowledge. And he paralleled this warning and teaching. As John Calvin said, we are perfect in wisdom if we truly know Christ. So that it is madness to wish to know anything beside Him. You see, Christ is the supreme sine qua non, repository, source, and storehouse of all the wisdom. And if you possess it, if you come to this greater grasp of such treasure, no novel doctrine, no false teaching will allure you or delude you, no matter how persuasive the argument will be. You see, there's no need of supplement or substitutes for spiritual knowledge. Don't look elsewhere, or you will be robbed. Apart from Christ, any spiritual exploration not only is unnecessary or ineffectual, but I warn you, it is even deceptive. This treasure, however, is not clear to the eye, like the treasures. It's hidden. It's not that it's concealed, but they are not glittering to the human eyes. You have to dig deep to find it. They are deposited, stored up in Christ, in the simplicity of the cross, the foolishness of the cross, according to this world. And you have to look and dig into the ground of the Word as Christ communicates this treasure to you. If you look elsewhere, it will be worthless. Don't you long for the salvation of the dead, depraved soul around you? Don't you long to tell to people, all you need is Christ. He's the only place where the treasure is to be found. Is this treasure still hidden for you? How I pity prosperity gospel when there in this text lies the true spiritual wealth that no earthly possession can equate. In comparison, they're only trash, rubbish for the godly, so that he may gain Christ. And who is the only treasure? Instead, you put your trust in stuff. That no matter what, you will never have enough. And you hide behind your sin. Oh, how pitiful and poor you must be. Revelation 3:17 says, For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you have wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. James 5, verse 1 to 4. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotten and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver has corroded and their corrosion will be evidence against you and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days, but treasures of judgment. And to you God sends this personal challenge to set and sell all of your fancy riches, which appear to be bright, but they deceive and suck the lifeblood out of you. They are a stumbling block upon which your soul will be trampling. As Bernardo Clairvaux, the middle-aged famous preacher, said, O wretched slave of mammon, I quote, you cannot glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ while you trust in treasure laid up on earth. You cannot taste and see how gracious the Lord is while you are hungering for gold. If you have not rejoiced at the thought of His coming, that day will be indeed a day of wrath to you. Therefore, we must repent, act in conformity to this, and only then we will have treasures in heaven. And to those, I will now address those in need of directions. Do you struggle in your growth as a Christian? And you can find the completeness of the richness of the truth in Christ. Do you need spiritual understanding in your situation or in your problem? Why are you wearing yourself out with vain, poisonous spiritual pillows, not connected at all with the head, which is Christ? In Him you have all you need. Think of what damage liberalism has done in many churches, denying their confessional treasure for their worldly standard imposed upon them. Why going after the next method, the next spiritual exercise, the next novelty, if all this Tower of Babel, psycho-babel, it is disconnected from the head, from the true vine And some of you, after so many years walking with Christ, find Him no more sufficient and turn to other things, resulting in the worsening of your spiritual condition. Do you have forgotten? You have been forgiven and are now climbing this hill of legality, which doesn't lead you anywhere, only to find yourself falling over and over again. Come out of that trap, my friend, and get the true treasure. And going back to the analogy of a father, many desire our earthly father to see the children united and living in love. That's what we desire. And that is the heart of Paul for the church. And like a hidden strong box, it is solid and it is not easy to find. So it is for Christ's treasure of wisdom in the eyes of a depraved soul. It is worthless. He looks for it in a second and he throws it away. But for the godly, he learned that what he has is important. And like in a treasure hunt, he's looking for more. He's digging to the scripture and he says, where can I find this other one? Where can I find this other one? More and more knowledge of Christ. I want more of Him. He longs to see with great spasm and expectation, because we know that once we find it, we have all things. Oh, give me Christ and take away all things. And you listen to those business dealers that come to your door and they grab you with the words, oh, I am offering you the best and richest deal of all, my friend. This Christ, I plead you to come to Him and see the beauty of Christ. See Him. See how He glitters. See how He shines forth better than anything else has catched your attention in a movie, in a treasure hunt, in possessions, in vessels. Oh, Christ, when you see Him, it's far better. Get this treasure now that you still have time, or it will become to you like the fool rich farmer that loses all in a nighttime. He lays up treasure for himself, and it is not rich toward God. Luke 12, verse 21. And you say there is so much division and false unity in the church. And the problem is because it is based on anything else apart from Christ. And I tell you, many churches in Europe, what do? They are becoming liberal. Why? Because they rejected that treasure. They put it into the trash. The treasure of His Word. How dare. And you see it. Christ is just a name in their lips. And you maybe still obstinately say to me, okay, I see what you're saying. But I still want to look for other treasure. I'm still attracted by other things. Christ is definitely a treasure, but let me add some more earthly jewels to it. And if this is your situation, I am sorry. But this treasure is still hidden in part or in full to you. Don't dig where there's no true gain. What's the point of going deep and deep and deep and all these efforts, this sweating, when you have no lasting riches? Realize that this treasure must be sought only in one in whom there is the fullness of all the knowledge you need, which is Christ. Are you buying what I'm saying? Christ's treasure is now unfolded, my friends. He's the sum of all things. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Philippians 3 verse 10. Oh, that you may know Him and may share of His suffering for a greater part in glory. The deepest meaning of the whole counsel of God. The profoundest truth. The whole of religion. The word that you have in your hands right now is summed up in one word. Christ. Christ, no wisdom is greater, no knowledge is more necessary, no understanding more useful, no blessing can be added than what Christ could impart to you. Therefore, remain focused on Christ. There is no other treasure that can compare. His treasure of wisdom is so great that for those who really understand among us, in front of all the challenges of life, oh, they will esteem it above any other requests they may have. Like Solomon. He knew this treasure and he said, oh God, give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this great people? 1 Kings 3:9. He's the ultimate storehouse of any true spiritual knowledge. No pilgrimage, no worship of saints, no intellectual effort, no amusement or entertainment can grant you that. As I was a Catholic, I was trying to look to all sort of tradition, all sort of things, all sort of experience to get something going, and nothing was happening. Have you sought joys in creatures, in their comfort? Oh, look not below for happiness. Fall not asleep in Delilah's lap. Let Christ be all in all to thee. If you adorn yourself with value, you will have a firm foundation for your eternity. You will take hold of eternity. Grasp the precious Christ. After all, my friend, not all that glitter is gold. Hidden in Christ is a call to sacrifice all and get the treasure. Let us now bow our head in prayer. O Lord Jesus, how great is the sight. How beautiful Thou art. Altogether lovely, with no blemish upon You. Christ, that precious Christ. From heaven above, from all the glories of heaven, from all the beauty of Thy throne, You have come down into this corrupted and poor and miserable earth, and You have revealed Yourself to a world that has despised You, that has treated You like nothing. And instead, by Your grace, You have opened Your eyes to many of us to understand and see this treasure. Oh, help us. Help us in our Christian walk, Lord, to understand that apart from Your beauty and Your preciousness, there is nothing. Help us not to go after vain things. Give us, Lord, this sight of this treasure. And for those, Lord, who yet are walking in sin and yet have not realized the beauty of this precious Christ, oh, may He be made precious to them. May You show Yourself in their heart and lives, so that they may become really rich, that they may store up in their store box true treasure, Lord. That when temptation may come our way, that when discouragement may come our way, we can open that strong box, O Lord, and we can say, I am rich. I have laid so many treasures from Thy Word, and I can face this affliction because of Your wealth. O Lord, take away the idolatry of money. Take away any earthly possession that stands in our way and leaves us in complacency and so stony hearts. Lord, grant us to see Thy beauty. We pray You this thing in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.